Blog Talk Radio.
I think we're at that point.
I'm exhausted.
It is.
I really am. I'm exhausted on a soul level.
I know. It's like enough already.
And I see both sides of it, you know? Not the murdering cop side of it, but I think that Captain Ron Johnson,
Kirk?
The black dude.
Captain
Ron
Kirk,
Johnson. No,
is
idiot. He's the black
captain.
He's the
state,
yeah, I can't remember
his title, trooper,
but
highway patrol.
No, he is a state trooper. Isn't state trooper the same thing as highway patrol?
Well, no, they have highway patrol and they have state troopers. I mean, but they're different, but they probably do the same thing.
Oh, okay. Well, at any rate, I mean, I think that he has been a positive influence. And I think that he's doing the best that he can. And he's trying really hard. I just think that there's only so much you can do when you got a small group of people determined to cause some shenanigans.
Yeah.
And I'm in the minority, so I found, by not having a problem with the 12 to 5 curfew.
Oh, well,
really
you just
am.
Got you just got another member in your minority then.
Oh, you?
Because I'm right there with you. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean... The curfew, I've been in situations, look, I was in South Central. The curfew was sundown to sun up, and there were tanks, literal tanks, patrolling the neighborhoods. I think he's being very generous. I mean, if I was in that community, I would be like, can you Negroes please let me sleep just a little bit? Can I just
mm-hmm.
get a couple hours a night? But, I mean,
mm-hmm.
And I don't understand the pushback. What needs to be said between midnight and 5 that can't be said between 5 and midnight?
I agree. Like I said, I'm with you. I support the curfew. I support the curfew here. We're not
Oh, that's right. You guys got the curfew for the teenagers. That's a brilliant idea. Mm-hmm. Has crime gone down?
I haven't looked at statistics. I've just looked at parents on television complaining about the curfew.
Are you kidding me?
Which
are you serious right now?
No, that in and of itself to me is an issue that has to be addressed. That these parents don't understand that the curfew is not just for the safety of the community, but of their own children.
So here's what blew my mind about the Baltimore curfew. They have a curfew for kids 11 and under.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Your little ass is
because we
be
got
outside.
Kids shouldn't be out. But they're out there. Their parents are 20, 19, 18 years old themselves. They're out running the streets. So these kids, we laugh and joke about, where I am and my proximity to the fire department and how we hear sirens during the show on a regular basis. But I can literally look out my window and see, at any given time of night during the summer, kids 4 and 5, 6, 7 years old, 4 and 5, riding little scooter bikes up and down the sidewalk, until 1 o'clock in the morning. It's crazy.
See, we at that age, we were allowed to stay out that late occasionally, and we weren't by ourselves. My parents and the parents in the neighborhood used to have block parties. And so our parents, but it would be, a whole neighborhood thing, a whole street thing. And the entire street would be out. So we were out there with our parents and Joey's parents and Daryl's parents and their older brothers and sisters. But for us to be out there by ourselves that late at night, at that age, hell no. Hell no. We could stay out by ourselves till streetlights came on. My mother would let us play outside or go in the park, and her kitchen window faced the park, so she always had her eye on us. Now, when I got older, I stayed out after dark, but we weren't doing nothing. We were playing softball across the street from my parents' house until we couldn't see the ball anymore. And then we came inside. But our parents always had their eyes on us, and we weren't just out roaming the streets. We were playing, pickup games. Well, I wasn't playing basketball. I was watching the boys play basketball. But we would play football and softball and whatever, but we were right there in the view of our parents. And we just weren't out just roaming, getting into trouble. But this
we were out
your
on the porch.
Aside.
We were on the porch. I'm going to tell you right now, from 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, when it got dark, we played. There was a lot behind the alley in the back of my grandparents' house. That we played on, like you said, until it got dark. You couldn't see, the ball. You couldn't see the football. You couldn't see the softball. You couldn't see the kickball.
Right.
Because it got dark.
Right. When we couldn't see the equipment anymore, we came in.
Right. Right. Then we would play tag because there were streetlights in the alley. So we played tag in the alley. But we were in the alley, And then even when it got to be a certain point, we could see each other. But you could hide standing right beside somebody because the streetlights didn't totally illuminate the alley. It just, gave you spots of illumination. So we played for a while. And then it was like, it's really late. It's really dark. So let's go sit on the front porch. And we went and sat on the front porch.
Right. I think the point that you and I were making is that, yes, as young kids, we were allowed to stay out on occasion late at night. But we were always, A, in the view of our parents, or B, we were playing some type of sports activity. We weren't just out just going to the liquor store and walking up and down the street. Absolutely not. So
it wasn't even an idea. I mean, we had corner stores in Baltimore City.
We had a corner liquor store.
Well, we didn't have a corner liquor store. We had a corner store. It was a little grocery store, a little snack stand, which, you know, before 7-Eleven, we had these. And those stores closed. We called ours the Jew store. I've talked about this before. We got the Jew store because the Jewish family ran the store. And when they went home, and they actually lived above the store in our neighborhood. But when they went home, which meant they locked up the store and went upstairs, the store was closed. And in the summertime, that may have been 8 or 9 o'clock. I don't even remember. But the store was closed. So there was no running up and down the street to go to a store. We played on our porch. Might get a flashlight, or maybe someone would be clever enough to get an extension cord and bring their television out, and we sit there. And I remember watching Star Trek, you know, or Mission Impossible, whatever. But then we went in the house. I mean, the idea of running up and down the street.
Hell no. And my mother, my mom's house was the house everybody came to. So if we were all outside, because we had a VCR, and my mother was a taping fiend, and our neighbor was in the military, and so he would send us bootlegs back from overseas. So everybody, my mother would have 15 preteens and teens in her living room watching a movie and eating popcorn. Or we were across the street playing softball, but we did not get in trouble at all. And I think it was a combination of it never crossed our minds to do anything stupid, and we knew our mothers would kill us. Don't make my mother come outside. Let a neighbor complain about us. My mother would beat the tar feathers off of us.
Tar. Exactly.
So, but, I mean, anyway, I mean, we would not, I guess what I'm saying is even at, you know, 6, 7, 8, we wouldn't need a city-imposed curfew. Because we wouldn't have been doing anything to rise to the level of, you know, why all these kids outside all the time? Why are you 7 blocks from your house? And that annoys me to this day. If it's not a Friday night, and I see a bunch of teenagers walking around at 10 o'clock at night, that pisses me off. Because I'm like, it's a school night. Y'all need to be home. It's 11 o'clock at night. I need to be home. Y'all not coming back from the varsity football game. No. I can't stand it. I really can't. But back to Ferguson, I mean, and back to Chief Johnson. I think he's doing the best that he can. I mean, it's like it comes to a point where, you know, a lot of people are upset because the police wouldn't get involved at the beginning of the week when the stores are being looted. The police did nothing. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, what the hell do you expect them to do? Because they're scared now. They're afraid that if they do anything, all hell's going to break loose. And that's their own fault. You know, it's this thin line that they have to walk on. And I think that, you know, they keep saying it's outside agitators. Okay. You know, they said they arrested somebody from California and New York. But you know what? What fool is going to drive 3,300 miles or 2,300 miles to rob, like, a beauty supply place? I'm not buying that it's completely outside agitators. If outside you mean from St. Louis, okay, but ain't nobody gonna drive from California to steal some liquor.
Exactly.
They need to be truthful. The community, that community needs to be truthful to themselves. There are some of their local residents that are doing this, and that's unfortunate.
Well, I'm gonna take it another step further. To what's bothering me about the whole thing. And I may be in the minority by myself from the group of people that we associate with. But I believe it is a total tragedy that this boy is dead. I don't want to take that away. I want to preface that. I'm preface this by saying that first. I think it's a total tragedy that he is dead. I think some federal involvement needs to happen to find out what all happened and what all transpired, really. I'm not even going to try to deny that. But I want to know where, in context of the curfew and the people here protesting the curfew, I want to know, where was his parents' concern? Where was his mother's concern when he was strong-arming his way into some free cigars or stealing? You know, I'm the first person, and you know I'm the first person to call shenanigans when they demonize a victim like they tried to do with Trayvon Martin. But clearly, this kid, as a big kid, was used to getting his way by using his eyes to do some things. And I just find it sad that his mother is on television demanding justice for her son now. Why wasn't she demanding his ass be home, getting ready for school? Why wasn't she demanding he not be involved in situations where the police would be looking for him, period? And I know this, what happened to him wasn't related to the pictures that they've come up with now, but
yeah,
I just want to know.
You're in the minority on that one with me, because I mean, it was the day before he was supposed to go to college. I mean, you know, I could see myself saying, you know what, baby, you worked hard, you know, you're going off to school tomorrow, it's the middle of the day, go on and hang out with Ray Ray and them. Now, don't get in no trouble, but, you know, see your friends, because you may not be seeing them for a year or whatever. I could totally see that.
Yeah, but where was the internal fortitude? All right, so you tell your child that. Do you expect your child to spend that time trying to steal some cigarettes or cigars from a store?
No, I don't expect her to do that, but teenagers are stupid. I don't expect her to go to college and end up going to a frat party and getting drunk. Could happen.
Better not,
but it could happen.
But if it does,
I mean,
she better be going to school on the East Coast so I can get there before you to save her life before
right.
you start killing up a whole bunch of people.
Right. Now, between me and you, she ain't going to do that because she know.
Right.
She
right.
know.
But that's my whole point. You're supposed to know. I don't care how big your child is. They're supposed to know. You know, if my mama find out I'm doing this,
she going to kill me.
Kill me. I've told this story a million times in the past. I never told it on the show, but I've told the story a million times in the past. There were times when I was younger, and not an older teenager, but like 12, 13, 14, where we were just doing stuff we had no business doing. Nothing really bad, but just had no business doing. And the cops came around, and I said, please, I'd rather you arrest me than take me back home.
Right, but see, and you were a good kid, and you knew you would get in trouble, but you still did something stupid.
Yeah, but nothing illegal. You know, I didn't do anything.
No,
that was,
nothing illegal.
You know.
But I mean, I'm not trying to make excuses for what he did, but I'm trying to not put so much blame on his mom, because at a certain point, you really do expect. At 18, day before college, I would expect my child to have some common sense and not do something to jeopardize her college. I really, really would.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because they should know better. This kid, I don't know what his deal was. We will find out over the next couple of weeks the positives and the negatives. We always do. You know, even though it's still my opinion that they couldn't find a real, real negative to say about
right.
Trayvon Martin. But we will find out what his real deal was. It had nothing to do with him being shot down by this cop. But
well, and
I
think the
I
other
just
thing
believe,
is, if this wasn't just a one-time stupid incident, I suspect we would have heard about it by now. Somebody somewhere uh-huh. would say, yeah, that little Negro, he stole from me too.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it was dumb. But, you know, I'm inclined to believe it was this was, you know, his one and only dumb thing.
I mean, the boy was living in
that community, graduating from high school and going to college. I don't know if it was a technical college or what, but it was college nonetheless. So somebody was doing something right.
Well, you know, I'm not going to disagree with you, but I've seen plenty of football players now who walk around with college degrees but can't spell cat if you spot them the C and the T. But not to say he was a football player, but I mean, it's easier to get in college nowadays.
Did you hear that he was there on a sports scholarship? Because I didn't.
No. I'm just saying it's really easy to get in college these days. You just, you know, you can spell your name. A lot of schools are like, oh, my God.
Well, yeah, if you're an athlete, but I haven't heard that he was an athlete. I was working under the impression that he got into college on his own academic merit.
He may have. I'm just saying, you know, you've seen the book report I was co-writing for a former coworker of mine, her college courses, and this child was in college, and I was just amazed at how. I worked with her.
Oh,
I knew she was dumb as a box of dirt, but.
I did my boyfriend's homework. Now he wasn't stupid as hell, but I was still helping him, quote unquote, helping him with his homework.
Yeah, so I mean, he may have been doing a lot right. There's a lot of people who get in college today that would have never made it when we were trying to get into college. You know, standards are lower. Education isn't as keen as it could be, should be, would be. And need I remind you, George Bush graduated from college. So
yeah, but you know, I don't want to take that away from Mike. I really don't, because looking at this community and hearing from this community, the fact that he graduated from high school and was going to college made him an exception to the rule. However he was getting into college, he got there.
Yeah, and that's true. But I would be ever so happy when all this is vetted out if they said, you know what, Mike was doing some things he shouldn't have been doing, and that was the first time he did it. I want to hear that. I want to hear someone tell me that. Because they will go out of their way. And when I say they, we all know who they are, will go out of their way to make this kid seem to be John Dillinger, reincarnated black. And I was having a conversation today with a friend of mine who hipped me to a campaign on Facebook that I wasn't aware of and still haven't really delved into. But there's a campaign on Facebook asking a question, which, again, we've brought up, you and I have brought up any number of times, about why is it every time there is a young black child, young black man specifically, whose life is ended under circumstances not unlike this or like this, they go back to find pictures of him doing something thuggish. They find photographs of him with his boys, with his pants sagging, which I hate, hat on crooked, whatever. But whenever there's a young white male that, I don't know, may shoot up an entire movie theater, will have with his buddies
shot up Santa Barbara.
Right. Shoot up a school, shoot a sitting congressperson while she's trying to do a town hall meeting. They always go back and find pictures of these kids in some angelic pose or some angelic repose, playing with blocks, playing with their kids, their kids' siblings. They never
right,
have, like these
puppy.
Pictures of right. But these pictures of black kids, I guess, don't exist.
Well, see, you know what?
You know,
it's
and,
like, if America don't, if white America don't, well, you know what? There are white people out there that are protesting, so some people get it. But if America, if conservative America don't get it by now, I don't know what the hell to do. Just like those seven white kids that broke into the, what was that basketball player? He played for the Heat.
Recently?
To his house. Yeah, like last
LeBron?
Week. No, I
missed
LeBron.
This news story because all I can see is Ferguson every time I turn on television. So
no,
it wasn't
these seven,
LeBron.
No, these seven white kids broke into his house because they just wanted to see how he lives. Now, he wasn't home at the time, but they didn't even get criminal trespassing. Now, imagine he had been home and enabled the castle doctrine. All hell would have broken loose.
Oh, yes. And you're talking about in Florida, where in the Miami area, too, where the former Washington Redskins player, Sean, what's the kid's name? Sean Taylor. Was in his home in Florida, and some kids broke into his house and shot and killed him.
Right.
So
that's the one that took the shot in the thigh. He got shot in the thigh and bled out. That. Mhm.
Yeah. Mhm. The shot hit his femoral artery.
And see, you know, this is the kind of disparity we're talking about. You can have seven white kids break into somebody's house just to check it out. And they can't even get criminal trespassing? Or how about, let's talk about Mike. How about he's being charged with strong arm robbery when a white person would have been charged with shoplifting?
Right. That's true. And let's
and they're,
even
they're
take
saying it was strong arm because he shoved the guy. Well, you know what? There's plenty of shoplifters that will shove somebody out of the way when they're trying to get out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, strong arm robbery is just shoplifting.
Tell on myself, confess on myself right now that years ago, probably 12, 13 years ago, right after I moved here, so 12 years ago, I was in a Target. And for some reason, no matter what store I'm in any given time, people think of me as an employee for some reason and come to me and ask me questions and ask me, you know, can I help them? I'm like, I don't work here. You know, and then sometimes I look down and realize I'm in Target and I'm wearing a red shirt, or I'm in BJ's and I'm wearing a blue shirt, and people just take me for an employee, and I get real insulted behind it. But one day I was in Target, and this guy had a cart, and he was pushing the, I was standing near a door that was an exit door, and he was pushing the cart towards the door, and in my mind I said, oh Jesus, now this person's going to think I work here too. And I was like trapped, you know, like he sees me and I can't run, so I'm just going to stand here and tell him I don't freaking work in this store. And the guy like charges me with the cart. Not forcefully, but like he's like trying to get, you know, to the door. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, excuse me, can you move? I'm like, what? Move? There's nothing. It's an emergency exit door. What are you talking about? And here I am thinking he's going to come up to me and ask me some stupid question about, you know, that I'm supposed to answer because he thinks I work here. And he's trying to run out the store, out the emergency exit door with a cart full of stolen stuff, and I'm in his way. And damn store security comes and arrests him or grabs him up. And they start thanking me because they thought I was thwarting his crime. I was just in the way.
By the way, it was Ray Allen. That was the basketball player.
Oh, Ray Allen's house? Okay, I didn't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was just in his way and figuring, I mean, you know, tell this fool I don't work here. You know, I wasn't trying to be crime fighter. I wasn't trying to be Batman. I was just
not this time
in
anyway.
The guy's damn, not this time, exactly. I was just in his damn way. They're all, thank you. You know, most people don't want to get involved. I'm like, yeah, most people aren't as concerned as I am. Most people wouldn't fling themselves in dangerous paths like I do. Ta-ta! But clearly, if the guy probably wasn't being pursued at the time, he probably would have tried to throw me out of the way. He wouldn't have gotten away with it, but yeah, when you shoplift or boost, sometimes you have to move a concerned citizen or an employee out of the way so you can get away with it. But I just hope that's not his case, because I don't want. To me, it's clear he's not Trayvon Martin, even though he was going to college. But it will never sit well with me that they tried their best to find a way to come up with something on Trayvon, and the best they could say was he was getting high. He had smoked some marijuana. So therefore, the munchies made him a menace to society.
This whole thing is a mess. The whole thing is a mess. And, I mean, I don't know if we talked about it last week or not, but this police department has a history of shenanigans. I mean, the current chief, I read, before he took over, they didn't even have a method for dealing with police brutality or community complaints against the police. They took a report and put it in the jacket, but they didn't keep a copy of it. So, you know, and this particular officer was with the force before the new chief came on board, so we don't know. We don't know if he has a history of it. I mean, they brought up the case of Henry Davis? David Henry? Henry was in his name, but they bogusly pulled him over and ran his name and got the wrong Henry. Took him into the Ferguson police department, beat the shit out of him, then found out they had the wrong guy, and charged him with destruction of property because he bled on their uniforms.
See, this is what's crazy.
Let me repeat that. They picked up the wrong man, beat the crap out of him, and then charged him, because they didn't have anything else to charge him with, charged him with property damage because he bled on their uniforms. Now, he turned around and sued them. This happened in 2010 or 9. He turned around and sued them, and when they got the officers under deposition, they admitted to perjury. When questioned under oath, they said, no, there wasn't any blood on our uniforms. But how you gonna beat somebody up and then that's like Dick Cheney level shit. Shoot somebody in the face and then make them apologize. But that's the history of this particular department. Not only is it the history of this particular department, it's the history of this particular area. All these little townships, people have been coming forward and saying, you know, you get pulled over for driving while black all the time. And, you know, it was men mostly, and, you know, some of them are telling their stories, and the story sounds kind of dicey until you hear that the same thing happened to one of the state representatives.
Uh-huh.
he's not a state representative. He's like an alderman or something, but, you know, local politician. And when they ran his name, they let him go. But if they hadn't figured out who he was, he'd be sitting in jail.
I mean,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we can cite these stories across the country, but the unique thing about it to me is you're now talking about a town where the blacks are two-thirds of the majority and not the minority.
Right.
So
people have been making the same exact argument that you've been making. Why aren't you voting?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are you content to let these white folks run your town? Get out there
when
and
you
vote.
Can make a
Get
difference.
Out there and run.
I mean, and you and I both, and our circle also, we all argue against voter apathy. We all believe that your vote counts no matter. Your vote counts. But very rarely do you have an opportunity where you are a black person is living in a community where they're two-thirds the majority and they accept minority rule when they can do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the point, you have to understand that they're at a point that back in the day when a black person was considered one-eighth to one-third of a citizen compared to a white person, or their vote is just, you know, your voting rights with you were one-eighth or one-third of a person. Even today, if that were in effect today, they could still vote in who they want because clearly it's not voting strictly down color lines in this town. But by the amount of white people who are out here protesting alongside the black citizens, clearly they can vote in who they want and not keep accepting what they get. And I'm at the point now, I'm so sick of hearing about the protests. I'm so sick of turning on the television and seeing another incident, seeing another riot. I'm sick of it. But I'm at the point now where someone, if it's not going to be the current mayor, then it needs to be the governor of the state, needs to come out and tell the police chief, you need to stop coming on television because you are making things worse. You are seen as part of the problem. So every time your face is on camera, it hurts the situation. Don't say dick. Shut up. Sit back. I've seen him now on the air with a very large black man behind him, police officer. I don't know if he's actually on the force or if he's someone they brought in from another force that has a similar uniform. I don't know. But you need to not say anything. Because whether you support what's going on from the citizen side or not, you need to let Chief Captain Commander Johnson, whatever his title is from Highway Patrol, let him be the voice in the face of this protest response. Because that's calming things down. I support the curfew. I support them trying to get a handle on things. I do not support seeing what looks like riot patrol cops, people dressed like Battle for the Planet of the Apes, the original movie, with the riot shields and the tanks and the water cannons and all that. I don't want to see that. Understand that they've got to protect themselves, but, you know, you're escalating your response. There's probably more media, and I'm using my quote fingers, media covering this event than there are legitimate people protesting legitimately of what's going on. It just keeps escalating everything. Everybody wants to be on cameras giving their side of the incident that aren't even related to this. It's like you and I flying from both sides of the country to meet in St. Louis, drive to Ferguson, and get on camera to say, this is wrong. You can say this is wrong from wherever you are. Going there to show your support is one thing, but going there to keep inciting the mess is something totally unnecessary, in my opinion. Let the people there protest, but let the police know you are bringing Desert Storm to a fist fight. It's not necessary. Measured response is required. Having people feel so threatened that they're throwing rocks and smoke bombs back at the police, that's third world country, and I know I shouldn't use third world country, but that's third world country shit, and we don't need that in this country. We don't need the police arresting journalists or media types anymore. That's beyond the pale.
I don't know, man. And I just, you know, I worry about, you know, what happens 6 months from now. You know, when whatever the outcome is going to be, and we still got these tanks and M16s and armor in these small police departments, and another black child is gunned down, excusably gunned down in their eyes. You know, you and I talked about how we grew up and how our parents had to teach, you know, my brothers and you how to interact with the police. That was 30 years ago. Hell, with my grandfather, that was 60 years ago, 70 years ago. You know, Grandpa's gone now, but he was born in 1918. Almost 100 years later, we still have to school our young men on how to interact with the police. What the hell? And enough with the criticism of Obama already. You know, he gets criticism because, you know, he's not the president of black America. He's the president of America. And I think he's weighing in as much as he possibly can without, you know, causing any undue harm to the process.
I agree. And along those lines, and to tie in with what we were saying before, I just happened to turn on the television this afternoon, and the Ed Show was on. And I haven't watched the Ed Show in a while for a lot of different reasons. But I was, you know, the TV just happened to be on MSNBC. But Ed brought up a very good point, and just like what you're just saying, what happened 6 months from now, lest we forget, 6 months ago or less, we were all up in arms over your buddy Clive and Bundy.
Mm-hmm.
And here, Ed brought this point up, and I'm going to steal his point, and I don't normally do that. Normally, it seems to me like they have writers that listen to us and then steal our points, not just Ed Show, but a lot of the shows. So either we're all group thinking or someone is spying on us and listening to our little show. But why is it? And I wanted to bring this up anyway, but to this degree of you know, the media pushing our agendas. Why is it that we forgot and moved on from Clive and Bundy to the point that we didn't get told, it wasn't overly publicized, that the federal government pulled back from that situation and gave this man back his cattle when he was clearly wrong. He still never paid a nickel. They gave him back his cattle. And no one was arrested. There was no heavily armed police presence or response to militia groups coming in to support him and actually holding loaded weapons and pointing loaded weapons at federal marshals and federal agents who were doing their job. Where were the tanks and the riot gear and the police for these people who were clearly violating the law of the land? But in Ferguson, you have people who are protesting, whether peacefully or non-peacefully. No one has guns. No one is pointing guns at officers of the law or federal employees. And you've got riot gear and tanks being brought in to quash everything. Where was that response? You got guys with sniper rifles on top of armored personnel carriers aimed at the crowd when no one in the crowd has a gun. No one's shooting at these people. No one's threatening to shoot these people. No one from Ferguson, either protesting or living in Ferguson or from outside, is saying, we're going to put our women and children up front, so in case these people start shooting, they're going to kill our women and children first. No one is saying that in Ferguson. But that was what was being said on Clive and Bundy's land, and nobody lost their shit. No one got arrested. No one was toted. No one was tear gassed.
Right. Where I mean, was sitting across the street with, guns. I don't, but a big assault rifle, a sniper rifle, trained on federal agents. I was
right.
Like, where's Mark Wahlberg? Because, you know, that's my guilty pleasure, the shooter.
Is the movie The Shooter your guilty pleasure, or is Mark Wahlberg your guilty pleasure?
I plead the fifth. Let's just say there are several movies I watch when they come on, no matter how many times they come on, and The Shooter is one of them.
But go ahead.
You know, I mean, I was seriously like, you know what, if this was the shooter, he could ping him in the eye from a mile away. But
right.
What planet do we live on? Let's just think about this. Let's just deconstruct this for a second. We've got a white man with an assault sniper rifle trained on federal officials, and we've got black people marching in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
They get bing bagged, they get pepper sprayed, they get hemmed up, slammed to the ground, they got, you know, tanks and whatnot coming down their streets. But on the Bundy Ranch, that's just Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they you know, you have one guy who come on and say, you know, try to defend what's going on. One guy from the government, one guy from whatever agency comes down to try to say, look, we're not trying to steal this man's property. He's been doing this for years. He owes us money. It's not that situation. Government. We get one guy doing that. Where is the governor of that state sending in the National Guard? Where's the governor from that state holding a impromptu town hall meeting in a church saying, this man is wrong, this whole situation is wrong, and I'm going to bring in every means at my disposal to get this situation straight, and these people who don't belong here don't need to be here. Get them out, and then let's deal with the real issue. Where is that?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I hope that if anything comes out of this situation, Mike Brown's death will be seen not as an opportunity for a bunch of black folks to loot and act a bloody fool, but it opened up a dialogue about race and police disparity in this country, and things change. You know, I think Ferguson has a population of like 20,000, maybe?
21,000.
You know, and I would like people to see the good that's happening. You know, yes, there's looting, but in the morning, the residents get up and they clean up.
Mm-hmm.
The residents who ain't stupid. Paul Muhammad, who's my next husband, who runs the peacekeeping. That man is fine.
Wait a minute. Does Mark Wahlberg know about this?
He gonna find out. He gonna find out today. If you're listening, Mark, I'm sorry. But you know, I know you wonder, how does her husband put up with her? He just looks at me and rolls his eyes, is what he does.
No, your husband knows. I know he just laughs and like, Lord, if someone would please just take this chick off my hands and let them deal with it so I can get a break, because she'll be back.
Right.
Y'all don't know. You
right.
Take her, Mark, but she'll be back.
You know, members of my family call us Ricky and Lucy. Because it's always me. Anyway, you know, you got my future husband, Paul Muhammad, hey, boo, out there running the peacekeepers. And then you've got the, I don't know what their organization is, but I might want to say the Nation of Islam, but I'm not sure. But they're older black men in suits who are helping to patrol the streets and direct traffic. And some of them have even gone as far as to, you know, talk to the people, the young people who are getting ready to cut up, and give them hugs. As ridiculous as it sounds, but give them hugs and tell them they are loved. Sometimes they need to hear that.
That helps. Yep, exactly.
You know, and it may not impact their lives forever, but at that moment, it gives them a conscience. You know, there's even some young brothers who live there. Pants sagging, you know, tatted up, hat cocked to the side, protecting businesses. So,
mm-hmm.
I want the world to see the good, the responsible people, the conscience of that community. If I'm a little disappointed in anything, I think that Mike Brown's family hasn't been forceful enough in saying, don't be doing this shit in our name. You know, they'll say, we don't want any violence, and then the next breath they say, no justice, no peace. Well, you know, what does no peace actually mean to you? And I understand they're grieving parents and they have other stuff on their mind, but I think it would do a lot of good for the community if they were out there at night saying, look, believe me, I feel your pain. I feel your pain more than you feel your pain right about now. But I need you to not do this in my son's name.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope it sheds a light on just racial corruption in a lot of these departments. The prosecutor is the son of a police officer who was gunned down by a black man.
Mm-hmm.
He's not bringing any baggage, is he? Yeah, he's not bringing any baggage to the table. You know, he criticized taking the security out of the hands of the police department. Well, you know what? That was the right thing to do. At the end of the day, that was the right thing to do.
Shit, at the beginning of the day, that was the right thing to do.
Right thing to do, right. From the get. But, you know, they need to be, their shenanigans need to be shown. There was no reason to release that tape, supposedly, allegedly, of Michael doing a strong-arm robbery, and we can't even see what the police officer looks like. We can't even see his report. We couldn't even see autopsy stuff. We couldn't even see the autopsy report until they got an independent doctor to do it. You know, they're calling a grand jury. Nobody even understands. I mean, one thing that I have walked away with listening to people talk is just the lack of complete education on how, a lack of complete civic education on how this particular town works. You know, they're yelling at the governor to put the guy in jail. They're yelling at this, you know, Chief Johnson, Captain Johnson, put the guy in jail. They don't even know how their own grand jury works. And that's problematic in that if they don't know how the process is supposed to work, what are they going to do when they get the outcome that they don't want?
Well, they're going to get the outcome they don't want initially. They're going to get the outcome they don't want initially. You know it. We here have seen it. We know it. I think they even expect it. You know, I really think they actually expect to get an outcome they don't want. And I think the powers that be in Washington, D.C. are trying to get ahead of it so that they don't get that.
Oh, yeah.
But exactly.
Yeah, because let's be real, the grand jury is going to be called in that city. And it's going to be probably called with the 30 little white people they got living there. And, you know, it doesn't seem like the district attorney has any real interest in a fair grand jury appearance. Because he's already made it known that he doesn't appreciate what's going on. He's made that known. Plus his own baggage. The first thing he should have done is recuse himself. The worst thing he could do for this community is stay, is be involved, because there is a mistrust of him. And if he doesn't
with the police chief,
right? If they don't set down an indictment, it's not going to matter at that point. They think people are cutting up now. You wait. Let the Rodney King verdict be a lesson to you, Ferguson. And they want to see the officer do a perp walk. Okay, but in the interest of justice, what's the point of that?
And personally, in the circumstances, I don't want to see, if I were in those circumstances, I don't want to see this cop arrested right now. I want a thorough investigation and then have him stand tall before the man, as we say. This isn't a Rodney King – I mean, sorry, this isn't a Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman situation where you have two citizens who come together and someone ends up dead. I want
I don't need a perp walk. I don't need a thorough investigation before I see him. I need to see he could be in Timbuktu for all I care, but his ass needs to be on camera.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Apologizing to the family. And he doesn't have to admit guilt in apologizing to the family. He doesn't say, I'm sorry. He doesn't have to say, I'm sorry I murdered your son, but he does need to say, I am sorry for the death of your child.
Yeah, he needs to say that, and then the other thing he needs to say is, as much as I see why they want to do this, I thoroughly reject any support and or money from any organization associated with the Ku Klux Klan.
Right. Right. Or how about, you know, I apologize for the death of your son, but let's the grand jury do what the grand jury is going to do, or something. He picked up his wife and his child and fled. Mike didn't have that opportunity, now did he? Fleeing
no.
is what got Mike killed. And the police chief needs to stop being such a dick. He should be out there on behalf of his officer. The police chief needs to either keep Johnson informed every day, or the police chief needs to be having a press conference every day. Even if that press conference is to say, we don't have any new information, we don't have any new evidence, this is where we are in the process, because a lot of this is people are in the dark. These people don't know how their judicial system works there anyway to begin with, but they are starving for information.
But he does not need to be the deliverer of that information. He, like I said before, he needs to step out and let Johnson be the one to disseminate the information. He needs to get his face out of the media, out of these people's televisions every night.
Right, but he wasn't even keeping Johnson in the loop.
Right. Exactly, because he was trying to keep his own piece of it and run it. Can't do it, son. You're seen as part of the problem. You need to step out of it.
Yeah, you know what? This is a lesson on how not to do this. And from my own personal experience, they should have learned from WTO. You know, I was in the middle of WTO. I got shot in the ass with a rubber bullet, and I think I was shot on purpose because it was too good of a shot.
I'm not even going to touch this statement.
I'm serious. I am serious. Because I worked in downtown, and I was right on the border of the red zone, my office was. And, yeah, it was the most surreal thing I have ever seen in my life. I'm sitting at my desk, and we hear this chanting, and we look up, and every officer of every police department in the state of Washington has on riot gear, and they're marching like they're in the army. They're doing this little sing song and marching in lockstep. And it's 2:00 in the afternoon, and we're like, what the hell is going on? That was day two. Day one, I mean, I was right in the thick of it because I'm nosy. I didn't do any looting or shooting or anything like that. But, you know, I had a gas mask. They didn't like that. And see, that's another thing. Because I had a gas mask, they thought that I was there to start some madness. I was like, no, I just want to breathe. That's all.
See, there you go. But that's your problem. You always trying to start stuff by breathing and shit. If you just learn
right.
to hold your breath.
Right. But, I mean, that was the absolute wrong thing to do. What the Seattle Police Department did wrong was, so downtown is a grid, and they had this WTO parade. Their grandmas with strollers had just passed us, and it was like, it was something out of a movie. It was like 3:45, and we were standing by this big clock, and you could hear it tick, and then things just got like deathly quiet. People had just started throwing trash cans and dancing on cars and stuff in the middle of the afternoon, further up. And it's like right when the clock struck 4, we heard this big boom, and then police on motorcycles and horses surrounded everybody. You could see them coming from 9th, pushing them down to 4th, and coming from 1st and pushing them up to 4th, and they were trying to lock people into this square. You can look at the video. Seattleites tore, there was some anarchists from Oregon, but downtown got tore up, and they kept putting, you know, they kept coming out each day and saying, you know, you can't be in the green zone. I mean, you have to stay in the green zone. And then the way I got caught up in it was they pushed the protesters out of the red zone into the green zone when I was trying to catch my bus to go home. Because, you know, you don't drive your car downtown. It's too expensive. And they kept setting up these perimeters and then pushing the protesters through that. And just tear gas and flash bombs. I know how to survive tear gas. Milk is what you're really supposed to use. But, you know, your mouth is burning, your nose is running, your eyes are running. The worst thing you could do is swish, because then you're swishing all the gas into the little cuts you have inside your cheeks. You're supposed to just pour the water in your mouth and kind of shake your head back and forth and then just let the water pour out. And that'll work if you don't have milk, because who carries milk around? It was just
not
absolutely...
Not even going to say anything on that one either.
Shut up. It was just crazy. But no, it's like they need to, you know, learn from the mistakes of Seattle police. I think it was 2002 when all this was going on.
I think it was 2000, because we saw all of it on the news and we were anticipating it when it was going to hit Washington D.C. in 2001, and it was such to the point that we were going to have. I worked at George Washington University, and we were going to shut down for the WTO protests that were coming in anticipation.
Yep, you're right.
Then the goddamn terrorists hit the World Trade Center, and, you know.
Yeah, because that building I was working in, that company I was working for, was in 2000. And I was actually pregnant at the time when all this was going on. I wasn't very pregnant, but I was pregnant, and I ended up miscarrying, but not because of this. But, I mean, just... Learn from Seattle's mistake on how to do this. You know, people get pissed when you hit them with a canister of tear gas.
I can see why.
And I think people also get pissed when you hit them with a rubber bullet and they can't sit on their right cheek for 2 weeks. I'm just saying.
I'm making a note of that, because that was going to be my pickup move. To shoot a woman in the booty with a rubber bullet,
yeah,
and see if we can go out.
You don't want to do that. But back to Ferguson, I think the main thing, the first thing they want is justice. The second thing they want is information. They just want information. Mm-hmm. They need to take a civics class, but they just want information.
You expect people to take a civics class that won't get out and vote in their own interest to bring in people who they can hold accountable and who look out for them?
Well, you know what? I'm just saying, you know, one of the things, since Captain Johnson has their ear, one of the things he could do is explain exactly how the process goes. Instead of saying, I'm not responsible for that, it should be, I'm not responsible for that. This is what's supposed to happen. Boom, 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 boom. I mean, you know, quit yelling at the governor. What he going to do?
And along those lines, we got a lot. We're not there. But they've got to stop letting the media drive their story. They need to themselves come up with spokespeople in the community who will come out and speak to this policeman, Captain Johnson, and then bring information back to the community, and not have everyone speaking to cameras all the time.
Just
some information. Hold a meeting. Have a nightly meeting. 9 o'clock every night. We're going to give a week update at this community center. Every night, 9 o'clock. We're not going to have a news conference on the corner with MSNBC, CNN, Fox. We're not going to do that. We're going to speak to you in the community. Now, they're welcome to come and film it, because it's freedom of the press.
But
we're not going
to
go ahead.
Every single time they've had that meeting at the church, the residents have acted blooming fools. They won't let nobody get a word in edgewise. They keep shouting out questions. There's just no no decorum, no organization. They keep getting interrupted. I mean, these press conferences that they've come to give to the community at the church have just been chaotic because the residents are mad and they won't listen. All they want to do is shout, when is he getting arrested? So mm-hmm. this goes back to another situation where the residents have to take some responsibility for what's going on. If y'all would just shut your mouths for 50 seconds and let the man tell you what you want to hear, maybe you'd hear it.
Exactly. Can't nobody listen who's yelling and screaming.
Right. And can't nobody who wants to listen be able to over you. And, you know, I don't think that I've had a problem so much with the media as I have in the past, because I think that the reporting that I've been seeing has been pretty responsible and has been at times getting information that nobody else has been getting. I mean, they dropped the name Darren Wilson at a press conference last week before his name was released on Friday. The press dropped his name on Wednesday, and the only person who caught it was Lawrence O'Donnell. Because they had that false name out there, and the police chief was saying, no, you know, it's not him, and I don't know where you got this name from. And then one of the members of the press said, well, what about Darren Williams or Wilson? And the chief looked busted. He swallowed hard. He started to stutter. He was like, huh, what? What'd you say?
He went all Porky Pig.
Right. He was like, nah, that's Mookie and M's cousin.
Where'd you get that name from? Because I didn't say that name.
Right, that's exactly what he said. Where'd you get that name from? Because you didn't hear it from me. And Lawrence was like, wait a minute now. I think we just got the name of the officer. And then 2 days later, that's the name they released. So, I mean, I think that the press has been helpful. I think that their reporting has been measured, while sensationalistic at the same time. I mean, even Chris Hayes, as much as I love him, it's like, what the hell are you doing down there getting rocks thrown at you? Take your ass back to New York.
Yeah, and sweating like a pig. Evidently,
oh my God.
Chris Hayes.
Right. I mean, it's just pouring through his shirt. I'm like, is he in the Serengeti? Where the hell is he?
Can they get this man an Under Armour shirt or something?
Right. You know what? Just put on a wife beater. Ain't nobody going to be mad at you.
Because it's not working. Go get one of those Columbia fishing shirts. You know,
just get a white Andrew Zimmerman shirt. Get a white T-shirt and one of them little handheld fans and call it a day.
Sit at
but
a desk,
you know what?
Man.
Eric is rolling in tomorrow. We'll see how it's going to go. And Daryl Issa better, when Congress is back in session, if Daryl Issa says one thing about this, I will move back home. No, I ain't moving back home. I will go visit my stepfather. No, I'm not visiting my stepfather. I will go stay with a friend of the family. And I will personally be all up in Vista. I got people in Vista. I will be all up in Vista protesting Daryl Issa's election. I might change my address and run. No, I ain't running.
No.
I'll do that. You know what? I'll do your little ice bucket challenge before I run.
I'm so glad you did that.
Did what?
Brought that up. Because I need America to understand. We need to segue these last few minutes. I need America to understand what I have to deal with. Because we, as a people, no, you're not getting away with this one. We, as a people, and as a people, I mean humans, And let me just step back a quick second on the Ice Bucket Challenge. The ALS Ice Bucket Challenge is sweeping not just the country, the world. People all over the world are getting in on this. It's a fun, nice thing to do, and it raises awareness and money for Lou Gehrig's disease, anterior lateral sclerosis. I hope I pronounced all of that correctly. But there is a person who is upset about the Ice Bucket Challenge because their father suffered from ALS, and they believe it's not cute. I mean, you can look this up on the interwebs. This person is very upset that people are going to this extreme to bring awareness to the disease and raise money, and thinks it's not dignified. Well, goddamn it, $4 million+ have been raised since this has started going around.
Oh no, honey, $39 million.
It's $39 million now. Because last week when
million.
I did it, it was $4 million. And the year before, this time last year, it was $1 million. So all of this money is being generated for this cause. So look yourself in the mirror and have a glass of shut the fuck up. I hate to break that down like that, but this is helping. And it's a good thing, and people across all lines, political, racial, sexual, generational, they're all doing it, and they all think it's a good cause, and everyone is on one accord for this. But that being said,
oh wait, I'm sorry, it's not $39 million. It's raised $3.9 million in the last couple of days. It's up to $12 million.
Okay, so this time last year was $1 million. So 10 times+ the amount of money has been raised with this than had been raised last year. So, again, hush yourself. So, with that being said, last Saturday, I did the Ice Bucket Challenge, and I called out people. You can find my Ice Bucket Challenge on YouTube or on my Facebook page, but I challenged certain people. And one of the people I challenged was my dear Sister Nomde from Cameroon.
Numzi.
Come on, Lord.
Merry New Year, Numzi.
And called her out first and said, I challenge you. Out of all the people I mentioned, I challenge you. And within 24 hours, my dear friend Kamal had answered my challenge by videotaping herself donating money on the goddamn website. I'm just done. I actually pushed back from my computer and screamed. I laughed so hard. Then this chick has the nerve to say, this is how I'm going to do it, because if you think I'm going to dump water on myself, you got the wrong one. You know,
I told you no in 12 different ways, and I would have done it in 12 different languages if I had the time. If I had to cook dinner. But I sure was going to tell you no in Korean, Chinese, Swahili, Dutch. You was going to get no everywhere I could figure it out. And see, between me and the lamppost, I just did my hair.
See?
I didn't want to be that shallow on Facebook. I didn't want to be that shallow on Facebook, but I had just pressed my hair. Because, you know, it's been like, I told you, I got gazelles in my backyard. It's been so hot. So I sweated out my press. So I had just pressed my hair. Number one.
See.
Number two, no. See,
do you understand how much it would mean to someone with ALS to be able to press their hair? No. You don't care.
That's why I donated $20.
And let me say this about
that. It wasn't a hard no.
let me say this about that to all of the people who have seen my video. Yuck fall who think I didn't have enough ice in my bucket.
You didn't have no
let me
ice.
Tell you, let me tell you, it's hotter than fish grease. I'm not going to talk about that on the air. I'm not
going to
talk about that on the air.
And
right,
I hollered.
They did, and everybody is loving that. But it's hotter than fish grease in Maryland. It was hotter than fish grease that day. I took the big Home Depot box, and I bought a 5-pound bag of ice and put that in the bucket. And then I poured in an equal amount of water to the point that I could barely pick this thing up. And I'm kind of, you know, I'm kind of strong because I like to, you know, like to throw that out there that I'm kind of buff, ladies. But
whatever. I saw your knees buckling.
They were heavy. And my whole left side for the last week and a half has been locked up for stress. My back is, you know, I got the whole shrimp spine thing going on right now, and I know it's stress related, but it was a lot for me to pick that up. And the ice had melted down. I'm not going to deny the ice melted down. It didn't melt all the way down. It wasn't all the way gone. There's still ice in that bucket. But that snit was cold. Oh my God, cold. And every time I saw someone do the challenge, I said to myself, it's just ice water. They act like they getting, you know, waterboarded or something. It's just ice water. That, right now, if I hunch my shoulders together, I can feel that cold going down my spine, down the crack of my butt. That cold ice water is cold. You do that, it's 4 days later. I still feel the cold of the coldness of that cold being cold on me.
And you wanted me to do that? Hell no.
Oh my God.
Mm-mm.
I mean, seriously, that's cold, man. So anyone that says, "Oh yeah, right now the ice," you didn't have to see the ice, but there was ice, and the camera person did not focus on the floor of the deck that I took the picture of. You know, I did it because you would have seen the ice on the deck. But that, I mean, that was cold, and I posted just so you know too. Come on, you could go. If you look at my video on my Facebook page, I posted something I got today of 22 ice bucket challenges gone wrong.
I hollered. I hope nobody had needed stitches and has a concussion.
Some people had to have needed stitches. How do you not know
how
to pick up a bucket?
You know which one got me? You know which got me was the little boy. God forgive me for laughing at somebody's child. But the little white boy... And the other one that got me was that white Bama chick who was like, and this one from North Carolina, and this one from Georgia. Her video was a minute long, and then the last 3 seconds was.
He dropped a bucket on her head.
My third favorite one was the dog. It sounded like he got hit. Going to hell. And my final one was the sneak attack. He was like, "You effing bitch."
See, and that's why it's good to be separate by an entire continent, because one of my favorite was the girl standing in the tub, and when that cold water hit her, she went to move, and she fell.
Wait, the black girl with the do-rag on?
Yes!
Right. And then my other favorite one. Was the big old fat white man with the cup? He said, "I had use a glass because my head is too big. And I was like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. What do you mean you can't use a bucket because your head's too big? And he just had a 12-ounce glass of water.
Right, and just little
7 ice cubes on his head.
The front top of his full, of his head, and then like,
right.
Ooh.
It was, he was acting like he had got, he had poured a gallon on himself. Oh.
What was funny was you could tell that his parents were probably closely related.
Closely related for the past several generations.
Several generations. I'm talking. Not just brother and sister, but maybe father and daughter. I don't know. I'm just...
Right. Something went right with him. Well, see, I got a cup here because my head's too big. little 5 pieces of ice ping-ponged off the top of his head. And he was like, woo, woo, that's cold. I was like, Negro, go sit down somewhere. That's cold. But you know what? I ain't mad at him because I would have taken a cup too because I wasn't pouring no bucket on my head.
Right. You would have poured a cup. You would have poured a cup of styrofoam on your head and called it a day. I know you.
Right. And you know what? Funny you should visit that because that's what I told my husband. He said, you should do it. I said, well, you know what? You go up to the UPS store and get some peanuts. He said, peanuts. I see you. Get them pack of peanuts. And I'll do it. And my mother saw the video, and she hollered. She was like, how many times did you tell him no? I said, as many times as I could. She
did
said,
your mother see
clear?
My video?
Yeah. She keeps saying, you look like my father's brother, and you do. You look a lot like my Uncle Leo. So she got a little of her clamp.
That's just great. That's just great. I look like your uncle. I feel so.
You do.
I feel so good now.
My 70-year-old
uncle
on top of that.
That makes me feel much better. I looked at the video and went, damn, I'm old.
She said, is he clear? I said, if he ain't, I can be clear, but I think he'll get the message on this one.
I got the message. And all of you all who think it wasn't cold enough, let me see you do it. Let me see you get out here. Post some cold water on your head. And that's what really gets me. People talking about, oh, that didn't look like it was cold at all. You do it. Ooh.
Mm-mm. You know, it's like when you take something out of the refrigerator and it smells bad, and you're like, here, smell this. No. I trust your nose. If you say it smells bad, I'm going to take your word for it, but I don't need to put my mouth and nose all next to the mold.
Oh. Well, America, Ferguson, Missouri, y'all got to do better. All this has to calm down. And before I forget, I want to say we said goodbye last week to Robin Williams and Lauren Bacall. And last night, we lost Don Pardo. Since 1975, when I was 13 years old and started watching Saturday Night Live, the announcer voice for Saturday Night Live has always been Don Pardo. Don Pardo said goodbye last night at 96. I think it's worth mentioning. So, 7 days from now, we'll see what foolishness is going on in the world. Till then, see you later, Kamal.
See you later. Stay away from the mice buckets.
Hate you right now.